Had a long, rough week at camp, so just bear with me this morning. A few injuries, but, you know, sometimes we just got to do it, right, Justin? That's just how it is. But no, we had a great week at the camp that I've been affiliated with for a number of years at Burnt Cabin. I appreciate the opportunity to be away, and now I'm back and Justin's leaving, so I guess that's appropriate. Wish Justin and some of the youth that are going to Zenith the best this week in our prayers. Hope they have a great, great week. Thankful, and I've heard good things about the Vacation Bible School that we just had. And again, we missed being a part of that. Look forward to that next year, Maggie and I. But understand that was a great success and appreciate all the hard work that went in with that, bringing those children to know and experience the love of Jesus. That is truly a great work that we can do as a congregation, is to teach those children and encourage them and those in our community. So there's a lot going on. It's a busy time. It's summertime. And so stay connected. Stay with the announcements and the bulletin and on Facebook, the Crosstown page if you're on Facebook, because a lot of things going on. This coming Wednesday evening, we will have our first of our service project. So make plans to be here this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We'll be in the auditorium for a brief devotional, and then we'll be dismissing to a couple of projects in the activity center, particularly with putting together the hygiene kits that we've been talking about for the Red Cross and some other things as well. So there'll be something for you to do this Wednesday evening. We don't just want to talk about service. We want to do service together as a body here. And so make plans to be here at 7 o'clock for that this Wednesday evening. Well, it is Father's Day, and so we're thinking about fathers today. I'm thinking about dads here this morning. You know, I don't know if you can relate to this or not, Dad, but one guy came in the office. He was an editor of a newspaper. He came in the office on Monday, and he was drinking his coffee. And one of the people that worked with him, under him, asked him, "Well, how did it go?" It was Father's Day, had been Sunday, and he said, "Did you get a Father's Day gift from your family, from your kids? And how'd that go?" And he took a sip of his coffee and said, "Yeah, I got a Father's Day gift." And they said, "Well, what'd you get? What'd they give you?" He said, "I got Mother's Day bills. The bill for Mother's Day came in." And that's kind of how it is, isn't it, Dads? We just, you know, it's hard to get things for Dad sometimes. And, you know, Mother's Day, and Mom kind of, you know, rightfully so, gets all of that. But and we get the bills from Mother's Day. It's kind of the story of our life. You have your Bibles, church, this morning. We want to study God's Word. Amen? Amen. Well, good to see those Bibles up. We want to hear pages turning. Turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles 22. Don't know if you've heard a Father's Day sermon from 1 Chronicles, but you're going to get one this morning. And I don't think, as we think about our lesson this morning, we're talking about David as a dad. And you might be thinking, Robert, maybe you're preaching the wrong sermon this morning. This is Father's Day. We want to exalt and honor and lift up the example of godly fathers. And you might be thinking, from what I know a little bit about David's life, he didn't do so well in that department. Well, I wish we had more time to talk about that, and there's a lot of truth in that. David wore a lot of hats. He was a shepherd starting out. He was eventually an armor bearer for King Saul. He was a soldier that eventually led in King Saul's army. He was eventually the great king that we think about him as. David was a husband, but David was a father as well. And while it is true that we think about the highs of David's life, the spiritual highs that he had in his life, we certainly think about the moral failures of David's life, and there are plenty to look at. You know, we as fathers, as dads, we're a big target sometimes, aren't we? We wear a lot of hats. We do a lot of things. And sometimes we do them well, and other times we just kind of come crashing down, it seems like. But we're trying. We're trying to love God and serve God and be the kind of fathers that God calls us to be, hopefully, this morning. And so we don't want to beat up dads this morning. Amen. I've preached a few of those sermons, all but Chuck. I've preached a few of those sermons. Now I'm going to challenge, because our dads need to be challenged. Our fathers need to be extolled and encouraged and exhorted. But I want to, and David, we could beat David up a little bit in his life and look at his some of his terrible, poor decisions he made in regard to his family. But I'm going to tell you this morning, King David did something well. And we're going to be looking at this incident as David made preparation for the building of the temple, which he himself was not able to build, but he prepared for his son Solomon, who would build the temple. And what I'm saying this morning as we think about this, as we note this scripture here, look at 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5, that says, where David said, "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of a great magnificent fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations. Therefore, I will make preparations for it." So David made extensive preparations before his death. You know, just like David, you and I as men, as fathers, as husbands, we are called to be the primary spiritual leaders in our homes and our families there on the outline. God calls us to that role. We may wear a lot of hats. We may be the manager of the business. We may be a CEO. We may do this and we may do that. And we may have a lot of different things we're involved in. We may be a coach. We may be whatever it might be. But let me tell you, our primary role is God calls us to be the leaders of our homes, the spiritual teachers in our families. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, Paul exhorts, Fathers, bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, certainly mom has a role. Mom is right there working alongside of, helping, encouraging, teaching. But he said, fathers, that's your role. We believe in those divine roles that God has given in His Word. And that has been given to fathers to be that primary spiritual leader. And David, although David made some terrible moral failures, we know about the story with Bathsheba and Uriah. We know about the counting of his armies. We know about some of his poor decisions that he did make with even his own sons, particularly Absalom. We could look at some of his failings, but he did some things right as well as a dad. David made preparations here for his son Solomon in the building of the temple. And I want to think about that. That first point, he made preparations. Here in 1 Chronicles 22, again, this is maybe not the passage you might think would be a good passage, or 1 Chronicles would be a good book on parenting. But here it is, David making preparation for the construction of the temple. And if you know how significant in the Old Testament the temple would become early on, it was the tabernacle and then the temple of God. Very, very important. And all of this transpired. This was according to the Lord's will. You read down in 1 Chronicles 22 and 7 through 10, David wants to build God a house. And the Lord tells him, "No, you're not going to do that, David. You're a man of blood. You've been a man of war." David was not a peaceful king, if you will. He engaged in a number of conflicts and battles, and he expanded God's kingdom in a large way. And so that was not going to be given to him. It was going to be given to his son Solomon. But David is going to have a role of helping, of preparing in that construction of that temple. And so, although we think of it as Solomon's temple, David had just as much a role in that as well, and his love and praise for God, that he so much wanted God to have something magnificent and glorious so that God could be honored and praised, even though God didn't need it. But it became a part of God's plan, of course. And in all this construction and the plans, you get over to 1 Chronicles 28, put your finger there in chapter 22, but in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 19, notice what it says. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 19. David did this according to the Lord's instruction. All of this, David said, I have in writing as a result of the Lord's hand on me. And he enabled me to understand all the details of the plan. Solomon, we're going to do this according to the Lord's will. We're going to do this according to the Lord's instructions. And that's always a primary point to always consider, that David did this according to the Lord's plan. David just wasn't judging this and making these preparations on his own thought, but on what the Lord had directed him and would direct him to do. David made the temple according to the Lord's plan. You can read over in, if you start in 1 Chronicles 22 and go through chapter 29, you can read all of the plan and preparation. Chapter 22, David gathers all the material necessary for constructing the temple, all the stones that had to be cut out. All of that had to be hauled and transported and brought to the holy city of God in Jerusalem where the temple would be built. In chapter 23, he organizes all the people and puts them in different leadership roles and in this regard. And in chapter 24, you have the organizing of the Levites who would serve and the priest in chapter 25. Chapter 26 of 1 Chronicles, the gatekeepers that are going to have a role in there and the treasurers. In chapter 28 in 1 Chronicles, he writes all of those plans down. He puts them in writing. Chapter 29, he begins the financing. How are we going to pay for this? Well, we're going to have to finance this and for the construction of the temple. I mean, there were a lot of plans and preparations that David had to have here in the building of this temple. His son Solomon was young, was inexperienced. He needed some help. And David was going to help him do this. He was going to make preparation for this. And I think about that, and I think about us as fathers, as parents. We need that same role. God has given us that same important task as He gave David. You see, David was preparing God's temple. You and I, as parents, are preparing our children so that one day they can be a temple of God. Remember what Paul writes over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 16 and then in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians verses 19 through 20. Now, in chapter 3, he's talking about the church is the temple of God. God no longer dwells in that physical structure in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, the temple. We are the temple of God, the church of Jesus Christ. Chapter 6, he talks about individually as Christians, we house the temple, we are the temple of God, our bodies in whom the Holy Spirit lives in. And so you and I as parents, as fathers, we got to prepare our kids for a lot of things. We got to prepare our kids so that one day they can go out and get a job. Amen? Fathers, that is an important role we have to teach our children work and ethics of work and the value of work and all that goes with that and how many kids aren't getting that from their dads. We better be preparing them for that. We better be preparing them for how to interact socially. What's appropriate behavior? What's not appropriate behavior? Boys especially, they need to see that from their dads, especially when it comes to girls and appropriate relationships. And we got a lot of preparing to do, but the most important task we have as fathers, as parents, is to prepare our children one day so that God can live in them. That they will become Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. And that is an important task that we have, that we've been given. And parents, we can't make our children be temples of God. All we can do is, as Proverbs 22 and 6 says, is train them up. Show them the way. Put them on that right path. Now, they've got to choose for themselves to one day serve and love God and be a temple of God themselves. But we can prepare, we can work everything we can so that it happens naturally. That they'll naturally love God in the church. That they'll naturally want to serve God because they've seen that in us. We've prepared them for that. That's the most important task we have, is to prepare our children for that. And David did that. He helped made the preparations for the temple for his son Solomon, who would build that. And secondly, David also had a plan. We want to do this right. We're just going to do it, you know, just going to do it on the spur or just how we feel. And no, there's a plan. He had inspiration. He had the will of God laid on his heart. David didn't just construct the temple as he thought best. God gave them those instructions and those details and those plans. David had a goal. He said it's going to be a glorious, there in 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5, a magnificent structure. And it was. We don't know what David's temple looked like, or Solomon's temple that David helped in preparation for this temple. We don't know what it looked like because the Babylonians were going to come and they were going to destroy this temple. They were going to burn it down. They were going to carry off the artifacts to Babylon hundreds of years later. And so just a little small portion of a wall is all that remains to this day in Jerusalem, Solomon's wall. And it's a very sacred, holy spot for Jews today. That's all that really remains. We know that it was a glorious temple that David and Solomon built, and David helped with preparations. There was a plan to build this structure. There were no shortcuts. There were in the oversight of this process. There was no neglect in this regard. Parents, fathers, we don't say and think to ourselves, you know, someday I'm going to get serious and prepare my child to love God. No, we've got to be right now preparing and working the plan that God has given. God has a goal for us as His children. And as parents and as fathers and mothers, He wants our children to love Him. We're preparing our children as Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 1. We want our children to be holy. We want our children to be holy just as He who is holy has called you. Be holy in all your behavior. You get over in 1 Peter in chapter 2. He gets down in verse 9 that we are to be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're God's special possession so that we may proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's the goal. That's a purpose that God has for us and for our children. Romans, Paul talks about this purpose as well. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, as Paul writes to the church of Rome, and says that God, those who God foreknew, He also predestined. Here's God's plan, God's purpose, that we be predestined, that He has called us for what? That we would be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God has a plan for us. God has a plan for your children to love God, to serve God, to be holy, to proclaim in their life how wonderful God is. That's not going to happen by chance or accident. We've got to plan. We've got to prepare our children for that day and for that time. Fathers, parents, what are the goals for your children? What are the spiritual goals for your children? Maybe you've got goals for your children. You want them to go to college. You want them to get a scholarship. Maybe an academic scholarship. Maybe a sports scholarship. That's wonderful. That's fine. But those aren't the most important goals for your children. You want them to be a Christian. You want them to love God. You want them to be a tabernacle, a temple of God in their life, that they'll praise God. How's that going to happen? Well, it's going to happen when you prepare and you plan for that to happen. A specific plan. Look over in 1 Chronicles 28 again. 1 Chronicles 28. A couple of chapters over from here in our passage in 1 Chronicles 22. Look at verse 9 of 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. It's a marvelous verse. And again, let's give David his due here. Yes, he made his mistakes. And yes, you're going to make mistakes as dad, as fathers, as parents. But we can commit ourselves, even with all of our failures and our shortcomings, to what David did. And notice what he said here in this regard about Solomon. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve Him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. What path are your children on, dads, moms, parents? Chances are, Let me just be honest with you this morning. They're following the same path you're on. Whatever path you're going on, that's where they're on. That's what path they're on too. Parents, our children are going to follow us. Dad, especially, your children are going to look to you and follow your example. What path are you on? We can't lead people to a place we're not at. And that's what David was telling Solomon here. This is the path. Parenting really isn't rocket science. It's not. Not that I know anything about rocket science, but I understand that it's complicated. That parenting isn't complicated. It's really not. Children watch us. They learn from us as parents. What we say, what we do, our attitudes, our values. What are they seeing in us? What are they seeing in us in regard to the church? In regard to the study of God's Word in our home and in the church? How about in Bible class? Do they see that example in us, that that's a priority, that that's an important thing we're going to do, is we're going to be in Bible class, we're going to be in worship every time the doors are open, we're going to be involved in the work of the church, we're going to be involved in the fellowship of the church? More than likely, what they see in you is what they're going to follow, and usually the sad thing is they're going to be even less than what you are. If you're lukewarm, many times they're going to be have completely no faith at all. It's usually worse in the second generation, if you will. What do they see in your life? Are you a Christian only when it's convenient? Are you honest only when it's good for you to be honest? Or are you honest when it's difficult, when it's hard to be a Christian? Do you worship God only when it's convenient or even when it's difficult? Even when you have to make some sacrifices and say, you know, we're not going to be able to do this because the Lord's will comes first here. And whatever it is, our children are watching. We're making preparations. Let me give you a list that one father gave. His name is Michael Ferris. He wrote a book entitled, I think I have a picture of it here that'll flash up there. What a Daughter Needs from Her Dad, How a Man Prepares His Daughter for a Life. And he taught a Bible class, and from this class, they came up with this, some of these list of things that especially daughters need from their fathers in preparing them. And they identified some of these spiritual goals. Look at some of these here. A spiritual goal here that they need to make sure that their children can try to reach before they're adults. My child will be sure of his or her salvation. That's a goal we need to have as fathers, as parents, that our children know that. My child will love and understand God's Word. My child will know and willingly obey God's rules of right and wrong. That's a goal we're trying to reach with our children as fathers. My child will be maturely walking with God. Number five, my child will know his or her individual spiritual gifts and call from God. That's not going to happen without a plan, without preparation. Not going to happen by accident. Number six, my child will be able to teach spiritual truths to others. He continues in the book on the list here. My child will be an effective witness. My child will spend daily time with God. My child will have a servant's heart. My child will be self-disciplined. My child will be in fellowship and under the authority of a local church. My child will understand the power of prayer. My child will be maturely walking with God. None of those goals are going to happen by themselves, just to say them, just to say those goals. We can say it, we've got to plan to see it happen. What plans are we doing? What preparation are we making? I look at that list, and when I think about that list, I think, man, I got a lot of work to do, first of all, as a dad. And I'm already behind, if you will. I've got a lot of work to do. We do. But we've got to get a plan. We've got to decide what we're going to do. And it's like in listening to the Word of God, you've heard these lessons, and we hear them, and we think, that's a great thing. I need to be doing that. Well, how are we going to go out and do that? That's what we need to be thinking about, is a plan of action. Don't just be hearers of the Word only, James 1:22 says, but be doers of the Word. Well, guess what? David knew God. This temple was going to be built. His son was going to see that. But he needed to help him. He needed a plan of action. He needed a goal. And that's what we have as parents, as fathers. is we need to have that same action. Someone has said this, and this is in light of, you know, these popular sayings and even biblical sayings. You know, you can Joshua 24:15 is probably on a lot of plaques and a lot of homes. That as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Well, that's wonderful. But how is your house going to serve the Lord? What specific actions are you going to take? What plans are you going to have? Someone has said, slogans will not save us. We can say it. We can put it up on our house, on our wall. We've got to have a plan of action. David did that. He made preparation, and he made the right actions for this to happen, a plan. And then finally, not only did David do that, he also enlisted help. He enlisted help. Look at 1 Chronicles 22. Go back to 1 Chronicles 22 now. In 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 17 through 19, David enlisted help in this construction business of the temple. Then David ordered all the leaders of Israel to help his son Solomon. He said to them, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not granted you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hands, and the land is subject to the Lord and to his people. Now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord God, so that you may bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the sacred articles belonging to God into the temple that will be built for the name of the Lord." All of the leaders of Israel, David called them to help his son. Help his son. Parents, dads, would you like to have some help in raising your children? Amen. And the Lord has given us help. He's given us a family, the family of God I'm talking about especially. Maybe your physical family, your biological family, maybe they're a wonderful help and you're raising your children. That's wonderful. But I'm talking about the spiritual family now. People who have the same goals and the same plan and are following God's one path for our lives and for our children. Do you want some help? God's given that. Remember, I preached on the church a couple of weeks ago. And God has given us the church for one of those reasons too, to help us, to encourage us. And we have that in these ways. There's nothing innovative here. If you're wanting innovative preaching, I'm sorry. I don't have that. That's not who you hired. I'm preaching what we've already known probably and have known in a lot of ways, calling us back to that. He's given us the church. He's given us teachers and elders and deacons and other wonderful godly men and women in the church. Bible school teachers. When you miss Bible class, when you skip Bible class, when you don't think you can get up in time for Bible class, you're cheating yourself and your children that help that they need. I believe that. I won't apologize to that. I'm not saying you can't you can't make it into heaven if you don't come to Bible class. I'm not preaching that. I'm saying you're cheating yourself of this help that God has given you in Bible school program, the youth program, the children's activities, all sorts of help. He's given us a wealth of parents who've done it before. Isn't that nice to know that there are some parents, some older members who've raised their children and they can help us? They can give us some advice. They can give us some encouragement. We have those examples for the older ones to teach the younger ones. Titus 2 talks about that. And that's so, so important to know. There's been others who've went through these same problems as I have. We find that in the help of them. But most importantly, the help of God. And again, I go back to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. In verse 18 and 19, look what David's prayer is for his son here in all of this. "That the Lord your God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever. Keep their hearts loyal to you." And verse 19, "Give my son Solomon wholeheartedly devotion to keep your commandments, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build this structure for which I have provided." David was asking for God to help his son. That's the help we ultimately need, is the help of God to live a Christian life. God's strength, God's teachings, His will. That's what we're talking about here in this regard. And really, again, nothing innovative here. Lead by example. Show your children the right path. Lift God's word before your children always and what you say and do. Pray for them. Pray for your children. Lead them in those paths. Again, we can't make them be a temple of God. We can't make them be a Christian. They have to choose it themselves. All we can do is prepare and plan and ask for God's help in doing that. And at the end of all of this, let's fast forward how all this turned out. You can continue reading on in 1 Chronicles, which kind of recaps the history of David during that period. The Chronicles do from what took place in 1 and 2 Samuel and the kings. But later on in 2 Chronicles, as the people are coming back from Babylon captivity, they're given their history. And we're told about the temple and the construction of the temple. And notice this in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles 5. And verse 14. This is when they brought the ark into the temple and dedicate the temple of God and all of this. And it tells us, the end of verse 13, that the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud and the priest could not perform their service because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. The purpose and the planning and the preparing and all of that, asking for God's help, it came about. God's presence in a special way filled that temple. And just as you and I as parents were thinking about this, as fathers, will the glory of God fill up your children's life? That's the question we're asking. That's what we want to leave you with. Just as God's glory filled that temple, that tabernacle of God's people in the Old Testament, we're preparing, we're planning, we're asking for God's help so that one day the presence of God will fill our children's lives, in their lives. And that's what we're working towards, to let them go one day so that they can serve and love God on their own, and we've done what we can to try to help them. There's no guarantees here that if we do everything that we're saying this morning, our children can reject it. They can choose the way of the world, and sin and temptation is enticing them always. But we're saying if we'll trust in the Lord and train up our children, we have that confidence that God gives us, that His glory will fill their lives up, and we can only trust in that plan. Where are you at this morning in that regard? Are you, as one, showing that example? Is your life leading that purpose, that God is in your life, that you are a temple of God whom the Holy Spirit dwells in, that you are a faithful member of the temple of God, the church? Or are you on the outside looking in? Dads, are you on the sideline this morning? Are you watching mom do it all spiritually? You might be providing, you might be encouraging, you might be teaching your children right and wrong morally, but spiritually, are you on the sidelines watching? I'm so thankful for moms that step up and fill those roles, but that's not the way God intended it. He wants fathers to be in that role, working with their wife, the mother. And if you're not doing that this morning, we want to encourage you. If you know what you need to do this morning, maybe you need to obey the gospel and put Christ on in baptism. If you need the prayers of the church to help you do this, whatever we can do this morning, come as we stand and sing.